Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sean Salisbury is the host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in the great city of Houston. Nice enough to join us every single Tuesday. He's the man. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by King of Clean, with electrostatic cleaning, pressure washing, and much more for Memphis and the Mid-South. The King of Clean giant interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Sean, it was a big week. I guess it technically is still a big week considering we have a game tonight. So we have a lot to get to. But before any of that, I want to ask you, we were just having the conversation about the fake crowd noise, about the piped-in crowd noise in some of these arenas. Do they add to the experience? Are they necessary, or do they detract from the experience for you?
After a while watching on TV, I really am not paying attention. I know what fake is, and I probably just assume you not try to fool me with fake crowd noise and all that. I'd rather hear the gnat sound, the ambient sound. I'd actually rather, in this situation, seeing the fact that we can't, you know, watch the games anyway. I mean, have, you know, fans in the stands. My number one thing.
Just lost Sean there.
Lost him.
That was a very natural sound there.
It was ambient sound.
It absolutely was. But it sounded like he. Yeah, and listen, I'll say this: I do enjoy hearing quarterbacks in the line of scrimmage.
Sean is like, "Don't piss in my face. Tell me it's raining. Don't give me that fake sound. I don't need fake sound because I know that's not what's naturally going on."
Right. Well, and that's true. I mean, I just feel like it would be, you know, eerie, sort of. But Sean, you were saying that you like the natural sound.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I felt like there was I felt like there was like a sponsored ad came on while it's in my ear, and I'm trying to talk to you as a distraction. So I'm like, what is a sponsored ad for some ad coming on my phone? Or like the old school two party lines. I personally, I like the gnat sound. I prefer 80,000 people, but since we can't have them in the stadium, you're not really fooling anybody. And I think sometimes on the national broadcast, they overdo the piped-in noise.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And like try to make it like, well, there is 90,000. We can see there's not. I get their point, but I'd like to hear, honestly, now I know the F-bombs and all that stuff become a problem, but I'd love to hear quarterback communication at the line of scrimmage. I would love to hear that, how they talk and when they're changing the play, where it's blatant, easy to hear as opposed to you're trying to figure it out. So
yeah.
I'm past the point. The fans, and I can tell you this, fans ought to know how important they are because the games are different. And it feels different, and it is different, college and the NFL, and it's not the same. It's much easier to turn away from the game without the fans, even if it's a game I'm interested in. But as far as the sound goes, once it's rolling along, I'm focused on the game. But I'd prefer more gnat sound than I would an overabundance of fake noise.
Sean, Baltimore, explain this to me. We know that Lamar Jackson's dynamic, runs the ball well, it leads an unbelievable rushing attack. But they're 31st in passing, averaging just under 180 yards per game. And against Cincy, in a game they controlled, they throw it 27 times in the first half and 37 for the game. I think he only ended up with 180 passing yards. Are they trying to get him ready for what they feel like, right? If we're going to win big and beat Patrick Mahomes and those guys, we're going to have to throw the ball here's a game that we controlled. He ended up throwing it more than Burrow, and not very effectively. I just wonder, are they trying to fix it on the fly, and can they ever get there in terms of right being that wide open offense that can keep defenses honest?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the interesting part about this is it's almost like they knew they were going to win this game, and it was a scrimmage game to test it,
yes.
Right? Like a test run.
Yes.
I'm with you. There's a couple things. Remember during the offseason, and Lamar coming off of Lamar has exceeded a lot of expectations from, you know, throwing the football and trying to get better from the pocket, and Greg Roman, what they've done to cater the offense to him. It's brilliant football because they say, we got this talent. Let's utilize all his skill set, mm-hmm. which is a novel concept. Do it. That's what you do when you got great, great football player and a hell of a quarterback who's the reigning MVP. Excuse me. So it was almost a testing ground. Say, well, let's test this. We know we're going to win. Let's put this ball in the air and let's roll through this. And remember, John Harbaugh during the offseason said he wants to be able to see, and I'm paraphrasing, Lamar Jackson beat the press coverage and man coverage outside more. So I think they were still saying that's the next level to his game where what happens. And I think in this, and to answer your question, we know he's so dynamic in and out of the pocket. They're exhausting to prepare for because you can't simulate Lamar Jackson on your practice field.
Right.
And when you're preparing, it's like the read option, get on the edge, inside run game because they're Ingram. They can run it well. The big playoff play action for the home run. The tight end's really good. So now the next level is, okay, when you're in a shootout with Big Ben, with Mahomes,
yep.
If you get to a Super Bowl and it's Rodgers or Wilson, one of those teams, can we? Because you guys, if us three are in a room designing a defense, if we have to pick one or the other, aren't we all going to say, well, I'm going to take Lamar's feet away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, if you can beat me throwing a fade throwing, getting in a fade throwing contest, pushing it down the field against press man, while we're pressuring you and not allowing you to escape and kind of boxing you in, can you beat me? And I think that John knows that's coming down the pike for the next level because those guys we just mentioned are throwing at Josh Allen, Buffalo as well. Because I'm not going to let you run for $130 and throw for $270. If you're going to beat me, you're throwing for $400 and completing big plays, but you're going to run for $36 or $25. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it felt like a preseason experimental. We got this game handled.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put this on tape so people think and know that, hey, we're coming after you. And the truth is, they are going to have to be two-dimensional like Lamar was last year. One-dimensional this year, offenses are too good. They can't win a Super Bowl being one-dimensional with the quarterback. Last year is two-dimensional, but I still think they think that if they get squeezed and pressured, can they beat you on the perimeter playing vertical football, throwing the ball in a shootout?
Right.
Can he stand in the pocket 35 times a game and deliver it? That's the question.
Yet another come-from-behind win for Russell Wilson. I believe now he's got 23 fourth-quarter comebacks in his career, 30 game-winning drives in his career. So I'm not really surprised by that happening on Sunday night, Sean, but given what you're up against if you are the Minnesota Vikings, you've got a 4th-and-1. You get that 1 yard in a professional football game with an offensive line. It's just 1 yard. Then you end the game. They went for it. They didn't get it. And now everybody is criticizing Mike Zimmer because, of course, if Russell Wilson did what he does and he goes down the field, he scores a game-winning touchdown. Was it the right move to go for 4th-and-1, or should they have kicked the field goal and gone up 8?
Here's the dilemma with him. And I'll tell you what, right now, if I'm building a franchise, I'm starting with Mahomes. I don't think any of us would argue that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But from my money, my life's on the line, and it comes down to one guy with a minute 30. This is before this. I've said this for months. I take that back for a couple of years now. Everything's on the line. My career, my life, family, and I need points to win a game. I'm taking number 3 over anybody in the league. And I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't even think twice about it. His feet, his arm, his moxie, his leadership. There's just something. He can be playing average, and at the end of the game, it's like, oh, Russ has the ball last.
Yep.
That's when it's going to come down to Green Bay and Seattle, I think, if we get to that in the playoffs in the NFC. Which one of those cats has the ball last? Because they're both so good. But for my money, my life's on the line. Number 3 in Seattle has the ball. That's who I'm saying. I trust my life with you with football. So Mike Zimmer faced it. You know, here's what happens. If they get it, everybody thinks he's a hero, the greatest decision ever. Took the ball out of Russ Wilson's hand, but he doesn't get it, and now everybody's questioning the decision. I'm thinking to myself, I probably in that situation, which I like guts and I like going for it and I like sewing it up, but I also know that I'd rather have him be able to go and have to get 8 points rather than six.
Same here.
Russ Wilson. Because there's time and he's going to do it. So I, in that situation, watching the game, said kick the field goal, go up eight. Even if he leads you on a drive and they go down there and they get a touchdown, you still got to complete the two-point conversion, which isn't automatic. And then now we're in a different game. So I would have made him go the eight-point route than the five-point route. But I get why you say he was faced with the dilemma. I know how good Russ is because he can take it down, and he did. But the other side of it for me is I would have made him do it twice, meaning the touchdown and then the two-point conversion, because I think it would have been smarter. Most other quarterbacks, I probably would have done what he did. Maybe Rodgers is the other one, and when Mahomes is going right. But in that situation with that cat, I'd have probably kicked the field goal and made him earn 8 points instead of six.
You played in Minnesota. You can tell us what the heck's going on with him. I imagine, Sean, they're among the biggest disappointments this year. That Bears team that's sitting in 4-1, I thought Minnesota's record would look something like that, and they'd be in where the Bears are right now. What's the biggest issue for the Vikings?
Yeah, I listen, this is going to sound mean because I don't mean it mean, because there's a part of me, even though I'm a lifelong Raider guy, as you guys know.
We know.
There's a part of me that wants the Vikings to do well. I played there most of my career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like Mike Zimmer. I do, and Rick Spielman. There's guys you like. And, you know, for us, we get to a point where it's, like, personal. You know, like, I root for friends more than I do teams now, like Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio, wherever they go. It's like,
yeah.
I want their success. But you know what? I think I know this is going to be harsh. I think Kirk Cousins, listen, I think you take on the personality of your head coach and your quarterback. I think there's a believability. I don't know if they believe they're going to win games late. I think they're looking around saying, okay, what could happen wrong next? I don't think they have closing DNA. I've said it. I don't think he's ever winning a Super Bowl. I just don't. Now, they'll put up numbers and look good, and you look around, they got some good people.
Sure.
But there's something missing, and if I can put my finger on it, bottle up and sell it. But I like them. But every year we're saying the same thing, though. It's become Groundhog Day. Oh, man, yeah, but look at that talent butt.
Yep.
And the butt is that they just don't know how to put their foot on your throat on a consistent basis. They'll look spectacular for a minute, but the consistency of it, they're not the Atlanta Falcons. But I'll tell you what, they're missing something DNA-wise when it comes to being able to choke you out in a football game. And I'm with you. The Bears, with their lack of offense and quarterback change, but they're tough. There's something about their toughness. And see, it's the opposite. Nick Foles during a regular season game in game eight will just be kind of like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
But you talk about Brady or the bright lights or a postseason game or when the pressure's on, Nick Foles all of a sudden becomes a superstar.
You're right.
He does. So if you took Foles' DNA and stuck it in Cousins, and I'm telling you now, that team's a Super Bowl contender every year. But they're a really good regular season team normally, not playing well now. But there's something missing, and I think it's the ability to win. And I think you take on the personality and that closing DNA. I don't think they have it.
That's interesting.
Speaking of really something missing, Sean, Drew Brees got the win last night, and full credit to him and the Saints on what they were able to do, especially without Michael Thomas in that overtime win against surprisingly, like, awesome, apparently, Justin Herbert and the Chargers. But it just watching him, and I don't know if it's game script. I don't know if this is Sean Payton sort of, you know, recognizing, hey, I've got a 41-year-old quarterback and I've got a dynamic running game with Kamara, and I need to sort of start featuring him more. I don't know how much of it is Mike Thomas, his best receiver, not being out there. But it just hasn't looked like Drew Brees is the same sharp Drew Brees. What would you attribute that? Is it age? Is it a combination of everything? What have you made of Drew Brees and the Saints?
I think, listen, having Michael Thomas is huge, as we know. I said at the beginning of the year, I thought that Tampa Bay, even though they've had a few struggles of their own, I thought that gap had closed. Most of the prognosticators heading into this season said, oh, Saints are the top. As a matter of fact, I'll bet you odds makers had the Saints as the number one betting odds. The best team, the majority to get the Super Bowl. I said going into the season, and I said it, and I said it on my show today, I think they're overrated. Now, I love Sean Payton. Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, and he's a damn near a Mount Rushmore guy. They're loaded with talent. But like we talked about Baltimore and their aspect, listen, I'm playing the New Orleans Saints. I'm squeezing them. you're going to have to throw the ball down the field. You don't get to play horizontal football.
That's right.
Because if you let them play horizontal football, they are look how much more time Taysom Hill's getting as well, too. Father Time's undefeated. I'm going to tell you this. Phillip Rivers, respect galore. Drew Brees, respect galore. One's going to be a high school football coach. The other one's going to be a broadcaster in 2021. They are rolling down the last seasons of their career, in my opinion. Yeah. And I think the Saints realize it. And if you can squeeze them and force them on a consistent basis to beat you vertically, when you got to pressure and go down the field, they're not the same team. Now, they gutted it out because they got a great play call, and Drew Brees is special. And they're loaded with talent. I matter of fact, there's not much I wouldn't bet. I don't believe they're a Super Bowl team, and I don't believe they're getting to the Super Bowl, because I think you can beat them if you're playing good, sound defense and you hit them in the mouth a few times. They're tough, but they're a horizontal offensive football team. And vertically only comes when you allow them to beat you horizontally and start jumping it, and then bingo, they'll hit one. But I actually think that you can squeeze them off a little bit and prevent them from destroying you offensively. They'll beat some teams, but they're going to run into the wrong team along the way, and it'll be in the NFC. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I think they're a little bit overrated, and I love New Orleans and Sean Payton, but it's just calling it like I see it. Both of those quarterbacks I mentioned won't be playing football next year, and the New Orleans Saints will not have another Super Bowl with Drew Brees this year.
We are, of course, talking to the great Sean Salisbury here. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. He's absolutely one of our favorites. We talked about it last week. I said, you know, I think the Chiefs can go undefeated. And no sooner do I say that do they lose to, of course, the Las Vegas Raiders. What did that game say more about? Who did that game say more about, the Chiefs or the Raiders?
I will tell you this, and I told you they could, but I didn't think they would, guys. I mean, you know, because it's just so hard to sustain it. You're going to run into that team that you play 80% or 75%, and they play their best game, and they beat you. Here's what I learned. I think I learned more about the Raiders. I'm not real worried about the Chiefs, okay? I'm not. They kind of waltz through. And think about this. We're not even talking about Mahomes anywhere near the MVP right now with Russ and Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Right.
I think he's 13 touchdowns in one pick, and he ain't getting any – not a mention of he's the MVP, which is to say something where they set the bar. This team is – they're going to be – you're going through Kansas City to get to – I believe this – now, Buffalo's pretty good, and with the AFC East, maybe, but you're going to have to beat a Chiefs team if you want to get to the Super Bowl, in my opinion. But what it tells me about the Raiders now, I'm going to tell you something that a former coach I know that was on a staff with Derek Carr and is a Raider fan, and I hated to hear it, and he loved him. Competitive, busted his butt, and you could hear him this year, says, I'm tired of the disrespect. He's competing and getting after it, and he prepares hard and does it all. I was told this by this coach. He said, but what you got to worry about is in December on the road in a place like Kansas City getting hit in the mouth and hitting him early in cold weather, I'm not sure he'll respond.
Interesting.
He won't.
On staff. See, and now they got Kansas City early on the road, but can he go into Buffalo?
Yep.
In a play. Can he go into one of those places? And I hope I'm wrong because I'm a fan, but when it came from somebody else, and this guy loved Derek Carr. He thinks he's a phenomenal human being and a hell of a football player. But there, we talked about something that's missing in certain things. Mm-hmm. And we'll go find out, because they will get that chance at some point, I would imagine. And then we're going to find out if a team hits him early in December or heading into January, then what? But yep. What I learned about the Raiders is they weren't willing to take a backseat, and they matched them big play for big play. So I think I learned more about the Raiders early. The question is, I would have rather seen that in December,
yep.
And I would have said, oh, maybe they're over the hump. So yep. I think there's still the jury out on the Raiders if they can pull that off, especially not only at the quarterback position, but on defense
yep.
when it gets into another shootout and it's bad weather.
Sean, you're exactly right, man. You hit it on the head. Sean, man, we appreciate the time, as
Thank
always,
you so much,
man.
Sean.
Talk to you next week,
you
man.
Guys,
thanks.
I appreciate it. Sorry about that mishap on my phone that got in the way. I apologize.
Oh,
Thank
no.
You.
No sweat at all.
You're the best.
Great having you, brother.
Yep. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yep. He is Sean Salisbury. Joins us every single Tuesday here on the show. It's a little bit like Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning in cold weather. I'm not trying to say Derek Carr's Peyton Manning by any stretch of the imagination, but every time Peyton Manning was on the road, you know, whether it was Gillette or whatever, like, you just felt better taking the other team because Peyton just did not perform as well in the winter outdoors. He needed that dome.
and his numbers bear that out for whatever reason. Anyway, thanks to Sean Salisbury for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 99 FM, ESPN.
Hey, Tennessee, sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you $50 in free bets just for signing up. You heard that right. They're giving you $50 in free site credit to register and verify early, no deposit required at all. FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a very good reason. They've got the odds on all the biggest sports and a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and even easier to lock it in. And unlike other sports books, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours because that's the right thing to do. And the right thing for you to do is to download the app, the FanDuel Sportsbook app, and check it out for yourself. Just be sure to sign up and register using the promo code JSmith. That helps us out, lets them know that we sent you. When you verify your account, you'll receive $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Again, that's promo code JSmith to get $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.